Welcome to the Her God Story podcast. Hey friends, I'm your host, Jody Caracosta, ministry leader at Somebody Cares America and International, author and traveler on this journey with Jesus. I am so glad you have tuned in for this episode. I know you're going to be encouraged and inspired today in your walk with the Lord. Have you downloaded your free 6-week devotional on women of the Bible at hergodstory.org? Make sure to get it. God will use it to minister to you in so many ways. We also have a 12-week devotional on women of the Bible that you can purchase for just $12, and all the proceeds will go to our widow and orphan fund. So check them out. If this is your first time listening, welcome. I hope you'll enjoy it and check out other inspiring episodes. Every one of them has a powerful message of how God is working in lives of people just like you. And please tell your friends about Her God Story so they can be encouraged in their faith also. As I've looked back over my life, I clearly see the fingerprints of God leading me, guiding me through good times and bad, comforting me, strengthening me. I bet if you look closely, you'll see the same thing in your life. King David sure did. In Psalm 124, David recognizes how his life could have gone if God was not with him, if God had not helped him. The New International Version reads, "If the Lord had not been on our side," let Israel say, "if the Lord had not been on our side when people attacked us, they would have swallowed us alive when their anger flared against us. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrent would have swept us away. The raging waters would have swept over us. Praise be to the Lord who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." I shudder to think what my life would have looked like without God. I'm so grateful that he has always been with me. My guest, Cindy Caravas, knows that too. She experienced some major loss in her life, but God has seen her through it all. In her career, Cindy has served as a social worker, director of a day school, a school counselor, and for the past 12 years, appointed special advocate for the Virginia Beach Juvenile Domestic Courts. Married for almost 30 years, Cindy is the mother of 3 adult children and is involved with a variety of prayer outreach and discipleship activities. I've known Cindy for many years and am always encouraged by her bright outlook and joyful spirit. It's infectious. As you listen to her story, I pray you recognize how God has been with you over your life and that it will bring joy to your soul. Welcome, Cindy.
Thanks for having me, Jody, and thank you for sharing that beautiful passage of scripture.
Cindy, if God had not been on your side, you could have been swallowed up and swept away by the raging waters of your young life. Share about your early years and how you see that God was with you even before you really knew him.
Well, he definitely was, Jody. I was the youngest of 4 children. I was living with my family in Connecticut. On a family vacation when I was 15 months old, my parents and us were hit head on by a drunk driver. My parents were both killed. Miraculously, no one else was severely injured. God was totally with me because I was in the front seat in the years before baby carriers or car seats. And I was found outside the car and really just had one little scratch on my nose. It was believed that my mother threw me down on the floor when she saw the car coming towards us. So he really spared my life for a purpose. My parents did not have a will because they were in their early 30s. And so the 4 of us were adopted by different relatives, but separated geographically and obviously through different families. I went to my maternal aunt, and my uncle was moved to Florida from Connecticut. I didn't see my siblings, my biological siblings, again until I was 12 years old, all of us together. We did have a couple visits maybe in those years, but that was at a family funeral that we were together. First of all, I want to honor my adoptive parents. There was never a time in my life that I didn't feel that they didn't love me. Mm-hmm. I knew they loved me. They did the best that they could, but they were broken people, just like all of us. They were broken. And as a result of that brokenness, there was a lot of domestic upheaval in our home, including domestic violence. And it was just a difficult, difficult home life. But, you know, God was with me, and He just gave me many, 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 I can't emphasize this enough, good times. They were good parents. But it was difficult. As a result of a lot of difficult things in both of their lives, my mother became an alcoholic. Those were some very hard years for her, because back then there weren't rehab centers. Alcoholics were usually sent to mental health institutions. And so for a lot of my formative years, my mom was in and out of the hospital. She became very resentful of that fact that she was hospitalized many times. And I think because she realized that she was going to lose her four children, if things continued, she totally stopped drinking. And from the time I was seven until I was in college, she did not drink at all. But a lot of damage had been done in their marriage. And during that time, my dad, who both of them really had been raised going to church, but that was not a part of their life when we were young kids. And I think the Lord just convicted my dad about that. And so He ended up putting the four kids in the car and taking us to a local Baptist church and dropping us off of the curb. Which seems so funny to me now, but God used that. Mm-hmm. And so we went, and we went to Sunday school, and we went to church, the four of us by ourselves. And during that time, my oldest sister had a Sunday school teacher who really led her to the Lord. And that changed the spiritual trajectory of our lives, all of our lives.
Yeah.
My dad became convicted that he was just dropping us off, and he started going to church. And so that was just a great start of my spiritual journey.
Yeah. So that did put those seeds in your life that God used to eventually draw you to Himself. But it wasn't immediate. So tell us what happened. How did you finally put your faith in Jesus?
Even though I did not really understand the gospel fully until I was in college, those seeds, you're right, Jody, those seeds were there. And one of the first seeds I can tell you about is that my sister did a banner to hang in our room. We shared a room. And that banner had Psalm 94:19 in it. And in Psalm 94:19, it says, the Lord says this so sweetly. In Psalm 94:19, it says, "When anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul." Such a beautiful verse. Also, that same sister started taking me, she was in high school, she started taking me to another church for Sunday evenings. And it was, we grew up in the Washington, D.C. area. And at this church, a pastor called Richard Halverson, he was the chaplain of the U.S. Senate. At the end of every service, he would sing a song from Isaiah 26:3. And it said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Mm. And those two scriptures were significant to me, because when things were really rough at home, I would remember those. Obviously, I memorized them, you know, from the time I was a very young child. And they really were the seeds that kind of started things going for me.
Yeah. And so your sister eventually went off to college, and you were a few years behind her. How did that play into your faith walk?
Yeah, well, she went to a Christian college up north of Boston, Gordon College. And when it came time for me to go to college, my parents gave me the option of staying at home or going to this nice Christian college 500 miles away that had a lot of rules. And even though I was not really walking with the Lord then, I wanted to get out of Dodge. I'm not proud to say it, but I lied on my application for the Christian college and talked about my personal faith in Jesus. I used a lot of the buzzwords that I had heard. Don't a lot of us do that anyway? Yeah. We use the buzzwords.
We do.
And anyway, the Lord had a plan because I got in that college, and it was during my freshman year, and I was taking some Bible classes and just other classes for my a social work degree. God just really bowled me over with the fact that the resurrection was real.
Mm.
And I had two choices. I could just be a bystander or a personal pan pizza person and just pick and choose the spiritual things that I wanted to justify my life with, or I could put my full faith in Jesus. And I'm so happy that I did.
Yeah. So after you committed your life to Christ, you know, some of us think that life's going to be smooth sailing after that, right?
Yeah. Well, that doesn't happen.
No, no. You had some hard times that you had to walk through.
Yes.
So explain what happened over those next few years and how you knew the Lord's presence was with you. I mean, he never abandoned you through all of this, but even though it was hard. So just
yes.
share about that.
While I was in college, my parents separated. And during that time, my mom started drinking again. And she moved north to the Boston area where I was. And I graduated from college and stayed in the Boston area and worked as a child abuse social worker. My other siblings were either out of the state, or my youngest brother was still in college at the time. And so I would often go and check on her because she was not doing well at all. And things just progressed and got worse and worse. And unfortunately, they got to the point where I knew that she was not going to physically survive. And so I called her and I told her that very thing, that I was afraid that she was going to die if she didn't have more help, and that I wanted her to go on her own to rehab. But if she didn't, I would take the steps that were necessary in order to get her the help she needed. And so she agreed. Mm. And so I finished my work day and I was ready to go and help her. She lived about an hour and a half away from me. And so I called her to tell her I was on my way. And a strange man answered the phone. And so I asked, "Who are you?" And he said, "I am a firefighter." And I said, "Oh, what happened?" And he said, "Well, there's been a fire. Who are you?" And I explained who I was. And so I immediately said, "Okay, well, I'm getting in the car now. I'll come. And will you still be there?" And he said, "Ma'am, your mother is deceased."
Mm.
And so at that point, I realized that she had completed suicide by setting her home on fire.
Wow. And you were the one who had to tell the rest of the family.
I was. I had to call my dad and let him know, and call my siblings. I don't really remember talking to my siblings about it, but I do remember calling my dad. Mm. And even though my parents had such a rocky marriage, they loved each other very much. And so that was one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my life. And Jody, as a result of that, I just shut down.
Yeah.
I did not want to talk about it. I remember my dad and my siblings going to the funeral home. I didn't even want to go in the funeral home. I just shut down. I took the opportunity to move to the West Coast thinking, okay, I'll get a fresh start there. And I have to say, I knew that God was with me, and I'll give you a tangible way of how he was just so precious and gentle with me. As soon as I got off the phone with the firefighter, I was just, I remember walking into my living room, and I had a record player back in the day.
Yeah.
And I turned on just the album. I put on the album that was already there. And it was a song that was singing straight from scripture about God carrying us like eagle's wings, and us soaring like eagle's wings. And it just ministered so much to me. It just gave me so much peace, unexplicable peace. And so, you know, in hindsight, I saw even from that very moment where I got that devastating news, he was there. His presence was there with me.
You know, you mentioned that you sense his presence then, and you did at some other hard things, because when you were in your early 20s, you experienced several other significant losses in your life. What were they?
I did, Jody. So I'll start with the loss of my brother. I was number four of four children in my biological family. My oldest brother, Kenny, when my parents were killed, my siblings were 8, 10, 8, 6, and I was 15 months old. But my brother, Kenny, I reconnected with when I was living in Boston area and the Boston area. He developed AIDS. As timing would permit, it was a time when I had gotten out of college and I was able to spend a lot of time with him. Mm. That was really a gift, because we didn't get to spend much time together, even as biological siblings. So I was able to just walk through a couple of years of that illness with him. He ended up passing away, but a cousin of mine, my only cousin to my knowledge on that side of the family that was a believer, witnessed to him. Mm. And she was able to share with me that Kenny had accepted Jesus as his savior before he died. What a comfort that was for me.
Yeah.
What a comfort. Another really difficult thing that happened in my 20s is a guy that I had been dating for almost 5 years, in and out of during college, a little bit after college. I was convinced that he was God's man for me. Mm-hmm. And we broke up, and it was devastating to me. I so overreacted, not outwardly, but inwardly. Like, I just thought, my life is over. It was another loss.
Yeah.
It was another loss. And so I just carried that with me for a long time. I ended up moving to this area where we are now. And I got in another relationship, got engaged very quickly. That engagement was broken off. I was like, okay, Lord, what in the world is happening here? So still in my 20s. And then maybe about 4 or 5 years later, through a blind date with a friend, I was able to have another relationship that was very serious as well. Well, what do you think happened, Jody?
I hesitate to say, but I'm thinking you broke up.
Yes, we broke up. That was hard. At that point, I was 30 years old.
Mm. That seems to be a, at least for our generation, Cindy, and I won't say what generation we are, but
right.
At least for our generation, age of 30 was the age where we all kind of felt like we should definitely be married by then.
Well, I think there was a Time magazine article at some point that said you had a better chance of being attacked by a terrorist than you did of getting married.
Yes.
At 30.
Yes. I think that's in the movie Sleepless in Seattle.
Oh, yeah, maybe it is.
You had this one serious loss after another. How were you even functioning? Because, I mean, I know, you know, I had a couple of serious relationships break up, and they were difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, but nothing like what you had experienced, just one after another after another. How are you functioning?
Well, I wasn't functioning very well. I thought I was. I was pulling myself up by my own bootstraps and pressing on the best I could. At one point, shortly after my brother died, and I'd had at least one, the first serious breakup, I called in sick from work, and a friend called and checked on me, and because she knew that there had been the breakup, and obviously she knew about my brother's death. She just came. She showed up. She just pulled up a rocking chair I had in my bedroom, pulled it up next to my bed, and she just was present. And it was such a beautiful demonstration of what Christ does for us. Sometimes he's not, you know, there aren't firecrackers going off to show his presence, but in that very still way, you just know he's with you. And when you don't sense that he's with you, we can know just because scripture tells us that he's with us. And so I just remember telling my friend, this is just too much. It's too much. I can't carry this anymore. All this trauma, all this loss, because really with loss and trauma, it's cumulative. It's not like, oh, there's one loss. Okay, let's put that in a box and move it away. And then there's another loss. They just build on each other. And at that point, it had been just too much loss for me to handle on my own.
How did the Lord carry you through that? How did you begin processing? Because you had been stuffing all of these losses down.
Yeah. I think a big part of it just personally is just surrendering, surrendering and just saying, God, I don't know how I got here. I don't know what in the heck you're doing, but I trust you. I know I can trust you. Even when I don't sense your presence, I know I can trust you. And so that was a watershed moment for me. And I'll say the other big watershed moment for me was, it had been at that point 10 years since my mother died. And I went to professional counseling. And that was really significant for me, for the sole fact that my therapist told me, you know, Cindy, you've been through a lot. This is a lot. And basically it was giving me permission to be gentle to myself because of all that.
Yeah.
And she was validating that it had been a lot, that I didn't have to be superwoman. I didn't have to pull myself up by my bootstraps. So that those two things together, mostly the surrender to the Lord, but also just getting some good help, really changed my life.
Yeah. So you have said that the Lord was with you through it all. Give us a few examples of where he was in the midst of the loss.
Yeah. Well, I can give you several examples, Jody. The first one that comes to my mind is the fact that it was a miracle that after my mother died, I did not have one moment where I felt crushing guilt over the fact that I was the one that made that phone call to her that prompted her to complete suicide. To this day, I don't know how that happened, but I can tell you I have never felt guilty about it. Part of that, I think, is because, you know, the Lord wants us to serve each other, and it's for a lot of reasons, but one of the biggest reasons is it helps us when we serve others.
Yeah, it does.
And I think I knew I had honored my mom and I had served her in her illness the best I knew how as a young woman in my early 20s. And so that was a miracle. That's a huge way that God met me in that loss. The second was just letting me know that Kenny was with him.
Yeah.
huge.
Yeah, I know. When we lose someone we love and we don't know if they have received the Lord, to receive news like that is such peace to our souls.
Such peace. You're right. The third way, Jody, would be that God sent friends to me to surround me and speak truth into my life. And, you know, I read this devotional one time that said that a lot of times there's two kinds of people. One type of person walks in a room and says, "See me, see me. You know, look at, here I am. Here yeah. I am, see me." Another type of person is the one that walks in a room and says, "I see you." Mm. They're others' focus. That's the way Jesus is. You know, he says to our souls, "I see you. I see what you're going through." And those physical friends that did that, that said, "I see you," and served me, was amazing. Mm-hmm. The last thing I would say is, when I just look back, I realize how gentle the Lord was with me. He, you know, provided me with that counselor that helped me accept that while the losses were hard and tragic, you know, I was going to be okay. You know, everything was going to be all right. And I just take that as the gentleness of the Lord.
Yeah. Well, we can wallow in our pain. Mm-hmm. And we have to process pain.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a normal way that God designed us to process pain. Jesus processed pain. He cried, he grieved, but then he moved on in the strength of the Lord.
Exactly.
And God was gracious to help you do that. And by this point, you know, you're 30 years old, still single. You needed to start getting practical about life and future. So how did God lead you in that?
Well, at the time I was the director of a Christian day school, and I loved that job because I had always been drawn to children, and I have some administrative gifting, and it was a good fit for me. But I was thinking at that point that I was going to be on my own here on out. And so I decided to, while I was working full time, to go back to grad school. And I got a degree in counseling. That way I could work for public schools. And so I got a job as an elementary school guidance counselor, which I loved, while working, you know, the other job and then going to grad school and starting a new job. It was just a way that God opened doors for me and he led me. Of course, I was praying, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And it's just like doors flung open for me. It was really amazing.
Mm. And you didn't date for another 7 or 8 years, but then things changed. This is a great story I love. So just tell us the story.
Okay. Well, you're right. I had a dating drought, as they say. And I had the chance to change dentist because my dentist had retired. Mm. And so through a lot of the single activities in our area, I had met a lot of different people. Well, I knew that one of the guys in the singles groups that I attended was a dentist. And so, and I knew him very casually. So I went and changed dentist and went to him. And actually, we don't ever remember meeting. So there's that.
Yeah.
Which is like, "Oh, how did you meet? Oh, we have no idea." But anyway, while I was getting my teeth cleaned, he asked me if I wanted to have dinner. And so I did, and we had a lovely time. And about a week later, he asked me again to go out. And my family was visiting, and so I had to turn down that date. And he didn't call me back again. I'm like, okay, well, that was short-lived. But then a couple years later, we went out again, and we dated for 6 months. He was also my same age, and he had never been married. I had never been married, and he was smitten with me, buddy. He just, he thought I was great. Well, then he became unsmitten, and you would think I would say, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
But this time it was different, Jody. It was different. And so I don't know why, but I think because God had given me those experiences before with those other broken relationships, I knew that there was absolutely nothing I could do to make something work. And more importantly, I didn't ever want to have to make something work.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, a lot of single women, you know, kind of try to push the envelope a little bit. But I knew that God had prepared me that that was not the way to do. So my dear now husband is a very analytical person. And so I just was patient. And I'm not going to lie and say, oh, it was absolutely fine. I had no anxiety whatsoever because I did. God really helped me through that time. And we ended up, you know, dating for 6 months. And then we got engaged. And I was like on board. Well, he started putting on the brakes as soon as we got engaged almost. And he was having so much, I wouldn't say he was having anxiety about it, but he just, again, he's a very analytical person. I am not. I'm a feeler all the way. And he's not that way. We're very, very different. So he, because he knows and loves the Lord, he reached out for help. I know you know, and hopefully many of your viewers know, Pastor Tim Keller, who was a pastor at Redeemer Presbyterian Church in New York City, just a wonderful author, speaker, wonderful pastor. Well, my husband called and got an appointment with Tim Keller. He had to wait a couple months, but he got the appointment. Tim Keller reaffirmed that marriage was a good thing, and he encouraged Jerry that for many analytical people like himself, it was harder to make emotional attachments as we age, but that marriage was a blessing from God. Mm. And that from everything Jerry had told him, it sounded like it was going to be a good thing. So my lovely husband said, well, how bad could it possibly be? And so we ended up getting married. And, you know, Jody, in America, most people have like just fairy tale engagements. And then, unfortunately, sometimes rocky marriages. We had the opposite. We had the rocky engagement, but we have had a really wonderful marriage. It hasn't been without ups and downs.
Sure.
That would not be real. But while we were on our honeymoon, my husband confessed. He said, I don't know why I had any doubts at all.
Yeah, that's what you want to hear.
That is what you want to hear.
Yes.
And it's been that way ever since, almost 30 years later.
So, you know, after those three broken engagements and near engagements, it really must have been a battle. I mean, you said it was a battle not to keep your walls up. Mm-hmm. But how did you stay open to that relationship? I mean, you said, you know, there was some anxiety, but I mean, mm-hmm. many of us, when we've been hurt, mm-hmm. those, when we see hurt coming,
right,
we put those walls right back up.
Right.
And how did you prevent yourself from doing that? I mean, what were some practical things that you did?
Well, I knew that both of us were praying. That was a, you know, huge thing. I knew he knew the Lord. I knew the Lord could speak to him, comfort him in his anxiety, just like he'd done for me my whole life. Other thing was that I knew from my previous relationships that even though they all looked really good on paper, you know, we were equally yoked, all, you know, they were kind men. My purpose in life was to trust that Jesus knew what was best for me. More importantly, what was best for his kingdom, you know, like what was the plan, you know, that he had in mind from the foundations of the earth for how he was going to use little old me and Jerry as well. So, we just, kept communication open. We talked about it. We sought wise counsel, and then we just trusted God to work it out or not work it out, you know. Open the door, close the door.
And that is so key. Many of us want to trust God when things are going good, but when the road gets a little bumpy, we want to take that control back,
right,
thinking that we can steer around the potholes when that's the time when we need him the most.
Right.
I mean, we need him the most all the time, but trusting him that he is a good God. You know, we know in our heads that he's a good God. But when it gets into our spirit that he's a good God and that everything he does is good, even if it doesn't look good to us, that changes the way we can move forward in life.
Mm-hmm. You know, in the Old Testament, a lot of the people of faith were told by God to build Ebenezers, the stones.
Yeah.
You know, the tower of stones where God met them. And I would say for me, those Ebenezers were some of the trauma, some of the hard things, those, you know, those caused God to show up in a big way. And so, I don't shy away from giving my testimony of hard things at all, because it's not about those hard things. That's not my story. My story is that God met me there and his presence was with me.
Yeah. Yeah. So life changed dramatically after you got married. Children came pretty soon after that. You gave birth to the first two, and then you had a desire to adopt, but you were married to a very analytical man. So share how God led you through that journey.
We were in our 40s when we started our family. We got married. Both of us were 39. And so 10 months later, our first born came, and then 16 months after that, our second born son came, and God had put in my heart almost my entire life a desire to adopt. Obviously, I had been adopted, and I had always hoped that I would be able to have a lot of children. And so about 3 weeks after our second son was born, I threw out the idea to my analytical husband, and his response was just what I thought it was going to be. Are you crazy? We're old parents and we have a newborn and a one-year-old. And so I said, okay, and but I still had it. You know how the scripture's talking about Mary pondered all these things in her heart?
Yes.
Well, I was still pondering it in my heart. But I also knew that there were this practical wisdom of what he was saying. And so I kept praying about it, not constantly, but often, I would say. and so we ended up going out on a date night, and out of the blue, my husband said, I want to talk to you about something. And I'll back up a little bit there. We had just bought some property to build a house on, and the property closed, and a few months went by, and he came to me and he said, you know, I'm really struggling with building a house here. There's, you know, our current house is fine and for us and, you know, just the four of us. And, so I just want to put a pause button on building a house. My husband has a real heart for the poor, and he just, couldn't justify, you know, that expense because of the conviction that he had. It's like, that's fine. And so a couple of months later is when we had this date night, and he said, you know, God has spoken to me, and this is not something you hear out of the mouth of analytical believers very often, but he said, I think we're supposed to adopt an international child. And so I was, of course, on board, and within 24 hours, I had all the paperwork done. We ended up deciding to adopt from Russia, and that was during the time that Yeltsin was still in power, but shortly afterwards, Putin came in power, and so it was difficult. We had to make two 10-day trips, and the first trip, we ended up meeting who was the baby that was to become our daughter, and it was just amazing just to meet her. And we later, I'll tell you this amazing part of the story is that my husband looked back in his calendar, his day timer, and we realized that that night that he told me that he felt called for us to adopt internationally was the week that our daughter was born.
Wow.
In Russia, so far away, so far away. So we really felt just that the Lord was leading us to Russia. What happens to children that come out of most third world orphanages is a very bleak existence. And so we're very grateful to have her. She was born full term, at seven and a half pounds around. When we met her, when she was 10 months old, she weighed 9 pounds and couldn't hold her head up.
Wow.
And so we left formula there for her, but we couldn't get back for 3 months. We didn't think she was even maybe going to survive. The winter, she was right on the cusp of Siberia, and the winters were really harsh. She had been really ill. She was obviously severely malnourished. But we went back when she was 13 months. And brought her home. She was 11 pounds at that time, still couldn't hold her head up. But we had a year of a lot of intervention with her, OT and PT in our home multiple times a week for that first year. And in the meantime, I had at home two little boys, 2 and 3. And so it was crazy. They turned 3 and 4 shortly before she got home, actually. But it was wild, but
yeah,
fun.
I imagine some of those years were a blur if you look back.
Yes.
So now your kids are all adults and you survive the crazy years. When we're in the middle of them, we wonder if we're going to survive, but you did. And we don't have time to go back through all the things that God did during those years, but summarize a few of the lessons that you learned in raising your children.
The Lord showed me and continues to show me that having adult children is the best lesson on earth to teach us that we really never had control to begin with. And all the women with adult children said amen.
Amen, yes.
We also hopefully know that God knows our children better than we do, and he loves them more than we do. His plan might not be the plan we have for them, and they're going to struggle sometimes, but his plan is good. And so we pray for them daily. You know, we just walk through life with them the best that we can. I would say for me, one of the biggest things is prayer. I pray every Monday morning with other moms of adult children, and we pray for those kids. And I love that because it forces you into a pattern of prayer. And I also would highly recommend some books that have helped me through parenting. A local author, Jody Berndt. She's internationally known with her books. She started out with Praying the Scriptures for Your Children. If any of the listeners have adult children, I highly encourage you to get her book, Praying the Scriptures for Your Adult Children.
Yeah.
There's just some great resources out there, but prayer. I do also want to add one thing, Jody, is that you know, more is caught than taught sometimes with our kids. And one precious conversation I had with our daughter, our child who is adopted, which, by the way, sometimes I forget which one is adopted and which ones aren't. But anyway, she said to me when she was a little girl, she said, "Mom, don't you feel sorry for people who aren't adopted?" And I said, well, where are you going with this, girl? She goes, "Well, they really don't know what it's like to be adopted and become a child of God."
Mm.
People who aren't adopted don't understand that. And this is from the mouth of babes. I mean, she was young. And so I just know that, you know, the things that we teach our children about the Lord, they're in there.
Yeah. I love the scripture in Proverbs that says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it." And I'm thankful that it says, "When he's old, he won't depart from it." He doesn't say, in the meantime, there won't be some rocky roads.
Right.
But we can trust God with all of it.
We can. It's an act of trust.
Yeah.
And that act of trust includes some of the disciplines of our faith, of prayer, and just seeking God on behalf of our children, whether they're doing great or whether they're in the depths. It doesn't matter. It's that same rhythm of life.
So you and I were both in our late 30s when we got married. I know that the Lord has put a soft spot in your heart for single women. Tell us about that and in other ways the Lord's using you now that you're an empty nester.
You know, you and I both have been poster childs for single women who want to get married.
Yes.
Because I don't know if you remember this book, but way back in the 80s, there's a book called I Gave God Time.
Oh, yeah.
And do you remember that? Yeah. And I can't remember the author, but I don't agree theologically with the title of it because he doesn't need us to give him anything. But paraphrase that book into I gave God a hard time.
Yeah.
I do know. I mean, it's hard being single. It is difficult being single, whether you're male or female, when your heart's desire is to have a life partner.
Yeah.
And if your life's desire is to be a parent, it's very hard. But so because of that, I do have a huge heart for single women. And so currently I'm mentoring 4 single women in their 30s who all want to be married. And the important part about that is it's not that it's like a pity party for single women. We talk a little bit about singleness, but only how it interacts with our faith journey.
Mm-hmm.
Because the focus needs to be on our growing our faith. I mean, and growing our knowledge and understanding of the Lord. And so that's kind of what we focus on. Also, just love to volunteer. I volunteer every week at a local elementary school. Still love that age group. I love doing things with our church, some outreach stuff. And I mentioned Moms in Prayer. It's a wonderful international organization. There's chapters almost anywhere in the nation if you want to get together with some other moms to pray. And then also I'm involved with Bible Study Fellowship, BSF, which I think has been the biggest instrumental tool for me over the past 10 years of just really coming to love God's word.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to talk about our things of faith, but unless we really are intentional about knowing God's word and learning more about him, it's his love letter to us.
Mm-hmm. It is. And that's how we live out our faith, by getting into his word and knowing what our faith is about.
Mm-hmm.
So Cindy, you've lived a very full life. What message or truth would you like our listeners to take away from your story?
Well, you know, Jody, one of the saddest things to me is that so many young believers punt their faith when they think God has dealt them a bad hand. Mm-hmm. And the truth I want your listeners to hear is that through the Holy Spirit, God is with you. Multiple times in his word, he says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. His presence is everything. It's everything. And we often don't have him as a guest at our table,
yeah,
in our mind, but he's there. But just acknowledging his presence. And I would say always remember that even if your life isn't shaping into what you think you want or deserve, we serve a good God, and he is our reward. He's our reward, not all the checklists that we might have of what our life should be like. He's our reward. I know that God doesn't waste anything. He desires to help us. He desires to bless us. And so just surrendering to him, submitting to him. And I do want to circle back to the psalm that you read at the beginning.
Yeah.
Just that Psalm 124, I just encourage your listeners to meditate on this psalm. But in verse 7, it says, we have escaped like a bird from the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken and we have escaped. And I would say, just based on that verse, even though the Lord has blessed me in so many amazing ways, he's blessed me in my life so many tangible ways that I only hit the iceberg today, but my real story is that I have escaped eternal separation from him.
Amen.
Because of Jesus's life, death, and resurrection.
As we close, Cindy, I ask all my guests, would you share about a woman of the Bible whose story has inspired, encouraged, or taught you something?
The Old Testament, which is the first part of the Bible, if you go into the 8th book, it's a little 4-chapter book called Ruth. And it's hard to separate Ruth, who is a widow, and she was not well thought of because she was a Moabite woman, but she had a mother-in-law, Naomi. And it's hard to separate the two of them because their story is so intertwined. But Naomi was just a beautiful witness to who the God of Israel was, and their relationships at the core of just such a beautiful example that in times of crisis or despair, God's willing to use anyone who's open to be used. And in Ruth's case, she became the great grandmother of King David, who is the line to our beautiful Savior Jesus. And so I think, you know, her life didn't look like it was going to amount to much, and there was a lot of hardship, but God just wove it into something so beautiful for his purposes.
Yeah, he really did.
Yeah.
Well, in Matthew 28:20, when Jesus was about to leave his disciples and return to heaven, he promised them, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. In her most difficult seasons, God was with Cindy, comforting her, providing what she needed. In her joyful seasons too, God gave her strength, a godly partner, children, and so much more. God has been with her through it all. And God is with you too, dear listener. Never doubt that. Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, the writers tell us, for I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can separate us from him. God loves you and wants to bless you. So like Cindy did, surrender everything to him and watch what he will do. Cindy, would you take a moment and pray for our listeners?
Absolutely. Lord, we praise you and thank you for who you are. You are an amazing creator, redeemer, and friend. We thank you for your son, Jesus, and for his life, death, and resurrection. We thank you, Jesus, that for those of us who have accepted and trusted you for our lives, you willingly have freed us from the snare and the grip of the enemy. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray for any listener who has not yet seen the beauty of your redeeming love, that they would come into a personal relationship with you. Draw them to yourself, Lord. Father, I also pray for any listener who's been traumatized by the events of this broken world. Mm-hmm. Guide them, Lord. Give them complete healing in ways that only you can provide. Gird them with a faith that you are always, always with them. In your son's precious and holy name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for tuning in. Check out our show notes at hergodstory.org for scriptures and links to other information we talked about. And remember to get your free 6-week devotional on Women of the Bible there. We'd also love to pray with you on our 24/7 prayer and text line. So give us a call or text anytime at 855-459-CARE, or you can email us at prayer@somebodycares.org. And now, dear friends, I leave you with a blessing adapted from 1 Chronicles 22:11. May the Lord be with you, and may you have success.
Her God Story is a ministry of Somebody Cares America and International. To find out more about or support the ministry, go to somebodycares.org.